Before we get started, I just want to say thank you for choosing this podcast and welcome inside the Genie's Lamp. If you're someone who has been on the constant roller coaster of losing weight, gaining it all back, and never feeling truly happy, this is the podcast for you. We've helped over 1,000 clients worldwide achieve amazing physical results, but most importantly, help heal their relationships with food, the scales, their body, and their mind, so they can finally get away from toxic diet culture and live a stress-free life. This podcast is an in-depth, behind-the-scenes look into our mission of coaching clients to achieve all their desired results by prioritizing their mental and emotional health, mentoring clients to overcome the all-or-nothing, perfectionism, never-be-good-enough blockages, so they can finally sustain their results and make us, their coaches, 100% redundant. If you find the podcast valuable and you want to do your part to help others, feel free to leave a review so we can reach more people who may need to hear this information but don't yet know we exist. Thank you for choosing and trusting the Fitness Genie. Enjoy the episode. Everybody, hope you're doing amazing. What we're going to be running through today is how to give less fucks and move on. And I love that this just so happens to be the one that I'm recording while I've got my beanie on because it's big and floofy and it feels like I can't hear anything when I wear it. I have to, people that are on TikTok live, I have to wear it like this, like my ears full pointing out. I look like a fucking Christmas elf when I wear it like this, but I can hear TV shows and shit better. But when I don't need to, just tuck those ears back in. I love it. It's fucking awesome. But anywhoosies, this is how to give less fucks and move on. I'm hoping this one will be a little bit of a quicker one, sort of like a half hour one, but you've seen the timeline. You've seen how long it goes for. Maybe it's less, maybe it's more, who knows. The reason that I want to talk about this is because I've seen a lot of people start to get distracted and derailed by focusing on the wrong shit. And I know why people do it. I know why it's there. It absolutely makes perfect sense because I used to do the exact same thing. When it comes initially to the overwhelm, it's because there's too much shit on our plate. And I've spoken about that before. I'll probably bring it up in like another couple podcast time. But the reason that it's there is because there's too much shit to be focusing on. When you consume particularly too much social media, too much information, we start to get bogged down in the weeds of stressing the small stuff of like, should I be having oils? Should I not be having oils? Should I do seed oils? Like getting way too minute about what should my carbs be? What should my fats be? Should my protein be this? Should I do more fiber to do this? And we get too bogged down in what is making up the overall thing that we want. And obviously 99% of the people come to me because they want to lose weight. And it's hit your calories, hit your protein, and we'll keep an eye on fiber while we're doing it. That's it. And the big question I get is often, well, what about carbs and fats? I go, you can have them wherever the fuck you want to have them. I've just realized how goddamn pale I look in the recording of this. So let's bring this down a little bit. What's that? 18. There we go. Look at that. Live adjustments coming at you live from Fitness Genie Labs. Or the lamp, I should have said. Jesus. Didn't do that very well. Anywho, people go, where should my carbs and fats be? And the truth is, it doesn't matter. It honestly does not matter. Because if you're in a calorie deficit, regardless, and let's just say you know what your calorie deficit is, you're in a calorie deficit. If you do that, your health markers will improve. If obviously you're wanting to lose weight, it does hit a point where it's diminishing returns and staying in that deficit is now no longer serving you. It's actually taking away from you. Then obviously we reverse diet. We come out of that. We give you more calories and we replenish and refuel. We do that. So obviously you don't completely lose yourself. But if you're wanting to lose 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 kilos of weight, whatever it's going to be, regardless of what you do in terms of the type of food that you have. Oh, Posty's here. Give me one sec. Yeah, so your carbs and fats can be wherever you want them to be. It doesn't matter. If you're in that calorie deficit and you're trying to lose weight, whatever amount that it is, your health markers will improve. There are studies and everything that say, regardless of what type of diet that you're doing, health markers overall will improve, regardless of if you are low fat and high carb, or if you're low carb and high fat, it is relatively the same. The difference between the results is statistically insignificant. It does not matter, which is why when people come on board, I keep it super fucking simple. Calories, protein, keep an eye on fiber, because obviously if protein goes really high, we don't want to get constipated because that'd be bad. But then also fiber is amazing for feeling fuller and for gut health, and fiber is just amazing. So it's good to keep an eye on that while we're doing the things that improve health markers, which is get the weight off. The reason that I keep things so simple is because it can be, and it can be that easy. which is one of the biggest things when people sign up. They go, oh my God, I didn't realize it could be this easy. A few people do try to take it to the next level to be like, what should my carbs be? What should my fats be? What's this, what that? And if it's out of pure curiosity to be like, should they be at like 300 or should they be at 100, whatever macro we're talking about. If it's pure curiosity, then I'll run them through everything and teach them everything about what I'm doing so they can understand their body, because I'm not going to not teach someone just because I'm like, oh, it doesn't really matter. Just do these things. I'm going to teach people as best as I can how their body's working and what different fuel types mean. And if they want to give a go of, or like have an experiment of high carb, low fat, or high fat, low carb, we can then run that experiment with them, obviously, because they're wanting to. And as the, hello, Britt, welcome back to the live. We can obviously run that experiment with them to say, how do you feel on any particular type of macro or any particular type of diet? It doesn't really matter, because at the end of the day, they're going to be getting the same result. And there is a massive study out there. I need to remember the name of it because I can never remember it off the top of my head. But there is a study out there that did 12-week intervention for weight loss. And they did a bunch of different diets and measured them all together. Keto, I think Mediterranean, and then just normal balanced in terms of like macro percentage. There are a bunch of diets in there. After 12 weeks, like the first 4 weeks, I will say, the first 4 weeks, the keto group lost more weight. But then across the 12 weeks, all groups lost pretty much the exact same in terms of fat, muscle, everything, because calories and protein were equated. The diet name in terms of types of food, every marker that was there was the same. It was insignificant with a difference. And I've said it before, the reason people lose weight really quickly on keto in the first part of it is because they dehydrate the fuck out of themselves. That's the only thing that's happening. It's not more fat, it's not anything, it's just dehydration. So that's why they saw that decrease in the weight really quickly in the beginning. But then again, across the 12 weeks, all the markers were the exact same, regardless of diet name. So you can literally do whatever the fuck you want. And if calories and protein are equated, it's probably going to work and you're going to feel pretty good. So that's why I like keeping it simple. But I'm going to teach people about that. Most people get derailed when they focus too hard on the, not the insignificant shit, but the very small stuff. And they go, what types of carbs should I be having? Should I have brown rice or white rice? Should I have this or that? It's going to fall under the umbrella of, are your calories hit? Are your proteins hit? Are you feeling good? Yes. The majority or the biggest thing that I do for people is, how do you feel? And then we apply that to the numbers. It's not, okay, well, you ate 4,000 calories on the Thursday. How do you feel? Do you feel like shit because you went over your calories? You probably do. If I said, for whenever anyone went over their calories, and I do sometimes, how do you feel going over those calories? Depending on where they are in their journey, I've got some people that if they exceed their calories, they feel amazing. But I've got some people who are trying to lose weight and they exceed their calories. And obviously, mentally, they feel like shit. Physically, it makes them feel a little bit better, but sometimes it makes them feel bloated. It's highly independent for how that affects that person. On the weekend, for example, I ate fucking way too much. And on that next Monday, I felt pretty damn good. My shoulder was all sorts of fucked, but the body felt pretty good. I felt like I could have pushed it. And then, of course, my neck just decided to go, hey, no, we're breaking everything because of how I decided to sleep. So that was nice and fun. But apart from that, it all felt good. And I've got heaps of examples where I've eaten a fucking pizza and then gone to the gym and smashed it out. And I've pulled up even leaner and lighter than any other day during the week. It's crazy. It affects everyone at a different level. So please don't get so derailed or bogged down in the minute of things, of what type of carb or what type of fat, or should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? If you want to explore that, then by all means, go for it and use it as more of an education curiosity type of tool or strategy to understand what's going to work best for you. Don't use it as a tool to go, how can I get the best out of this and optimize it to 100% to do everything right? Because then we've immediately swapped intentions from, I just want to get healthy and feel good, to, I wonder how far I can push this and I wonder how much I can take it. You will lose the fun. It will turn into a chore. It will turn into a second job. And that is not the feeling that we want. If you have a part-time job for like trying to look after your health and it's a part-time job, it's got that feel to it, it's not going to feel amazing. It may feel cool for like the first 2 weeks, like you do your normal 9 to 5 and then you come home, you get changed, you go out and do like another 3 hours for 2-3 nights a week. And you go, yeah, this extra income is amazing. This is feeling good. But then after 4 or 5 weeks, you go, fuck, I'm tired. I just want to go home, watch a movie, do this. I don't want to have to worry about this extra job. It's not even that much. So the first few weeks, if anything, is going to be motivating because it's brand new and shiny and awesome. So when you start focusing on new things, it's going to feel brand new, shiny, and awesome. Over time, though, it can start to deteriorate and not feel as amazing. So it depends on who you are and how you do that. But the one thing I would recommend for people to, how to give less fucks is to keep it simple and remind yourself to keep it simple. Because if you go over in your carbs and you go, oh my God, how the fuck am I going to go over, get my fats under? That means I can't hit my protein. Should I hit my calories or should I not? And it's a massive juggling act. As best we can, we just go, fuck that. It's not going to massively impact my life. It's not going to change anything. If I wake up tomorrow, am I still going to be me? Am I still going to feel the same? Am I going to sleep the same? Am I going to be the same person? Yes. It doesn't matter. There are so many little things that we get caught up in and we focus on them rather than the bigger picture because we have more control over the minute as opposed to the big picture. So when you zoom right out, it feels overwhelming and you can't control it and it's too crazy to be able to even think about or focus on how the fuck am I meant to do this? How am I going to lose 30 kilos? That's way too much. We obviously break that down into a daily thing. As long as I lose weight every day, I'm moving towards my 30 kilo goal. And then obviously, when that weight loss doesn't happen on any particular day, you go, well, what's the fucking point? Why would I worry about doing all this work and all of this and all of that if I'm just going to gain weight? And that usually comes when you're completely stressed. The pain in the ass thing that goes hand in hand with this is that no one knows how to maintain. No one knows how to increase their calories back up to maintenance. They've never gone through that maintenance phase to be mentally okay with it. Because, and I spoke about this last week, I believe, going back up to that maintenance phase, it's just going to rehydrate you, replump muscles, and energize you, and give you everything that you need. If you operate at 100%, whatever your fucking capacity is, but you operate at 100%, and you're at a calorie deficit, you're only fueling yourself up to 80%. So then the body has to figure out somewhere, where the fuck are we going to get this 20% extra that will deficit? How are we going to fix that? And it starts turning off bodily functions until eventually you stop losing weight. And now it goes, hey, your new 100% is what you were feeding us at the 80%. And so when you had more or you go back to the maintenance, it goes, oh shit, okay, let's not freak out. There's more food coming in. It's back up to 90%, let's say. It freaks out and goes, all right, well, let's just make sure that we have everything that we need before we turn this function back on. Because we don't want to turn it back on and rehire all these employees and then go, oh no, it was a fluke, by the way, you're all fired again. It doesn't want to do that. So that's why losing weight is a lot easier losing weight is usually a lot easier than gaining weight. Because gaining weight is very slow. It's a very head fucky type of game as well. But it's easy for you to go, I'm just going to skip this meal and then tomorrow I'll be lighter. And you can most likely control it that way. Over time, the body will say, we're fucking done with that. And we've closed off all these processes, so you need to stop doing that because we don't like it. But when you gain the weight initially, much like keto, instead of having that massive drop from the dehydration, you're getting rehydrated. So then the scale goes up and then it skyrockets a little bit by a kilo or two. But people do not have the experience to say, oh, I know what this is. This is just fluid. I'm just feeling good. And we can't get into the feelings because people have been so focused on the scales that when the scales go up, that's a bad thing. And no one enjoys that. To go from, I'm losing weight and doing all these awesome things into, oh my God, I'm doing all of these things and they're not working anymore and I feel like shit, what do I do? And the answer is often, please eat more and rest and relax. And they go, why would I eat more and do less? That's how I got into this position. I can't do that. I must have to restrict calories again, right? I'm not allowed to put weight back on because there's just been such an ingrained association with if I lose weight, I feel good. And then people freak the fuck out when they've lost weight and they don't feel good anymore. And they go, how do I get out of it? Do the opposite of what you just did. Gain weight, but very slowly, and slowly come out of that deficit. And they go, nah, gaining weight's bad. How do I maintain my weight just here? Well, you'll maintain your muscle mass and your fat stores, but the scales will go up. And they go, well, that's impossible. It must be fat then. Which is why it's awesome to educate people for how this works and why I get people to do the spreadsheet and to weigh in, even if they're like, no, I'm not doing it. And I go, could we do it for just this and this? If someone is absolutely like, I'm not jumping on the scales because it'll fucking trigger me and it'll be the worst thing in the world, then I go, cool, we're not going to do that, obviously. We can do different things. But the primary thing is, how do you feel? How does that food make you feel? To start changing the association with, did you lose weight? Good. Did you gain weight? Bad. We want to fuck that off. Because food, I've said it all along, all this time, food will tell a story. And that's the most important thing. When you eat more calories up towards maintenance or probably even a surplus, how do you feel? If you separate the things of how do you feel versus what do you think, mentally, think, when the scale goes up or they have higher food, they will say, oh, I think I've fucked up. I think I've gone over. I think I've done way too much. I think like it's all fat. It's all this. It's all that. And they'll start making these assumptions that honestly have no scientific bearing. There's no professional background in there. It's just, that's what I think it is. And it has to be that. But if you say, apart from you thinking that you've fucked up and the scales have gone up, let's park that for a second. How does the body feel? 9 times out of 10, depending on where they are in their journey, but 9 times out of 10, people will say, if they've been in a deficit for a while, I feel pretty damn good. Like I slept good. The gym was pretty good. I recovered well. Things just felt easier today. There was less brain fog, but I don't know how I can continue gaining this much weight. And it's usually like the first day or two, or even the first week. Like, I don't know if I can continue gaining this much weight just to feel that little bit better, but it's not. Much like weight loss, it'll come down pretty quick, like the newbie loss or the dehydration from keto. It'll lose pretty quick, and then it will tailor out, and then it will slowly come down at like a trending pattern. Obviously, you'll have fluctuations in there, but it'll drop quick and then stabilize and then come down, stabilize, come down. We are looking for the exact same thing with weight gain. It will likely jump up. It'll do the exact same thing, but just in the reverse of weight loss. It'll jump up because you're getting rehydrated and all those things I've spoken about, but then it will stabilize. And then it will most likely go up, hopefully by like 100 grams, 200 grams. Then it will stabilize. Then it'll go up 100 grams, 200 grams. It'll stabilize again because it's trying to build as much as it can. It's trying to build as much muscle as possible. And if you're at a maintenance phase, it's going to be very hard to put on fat because that is, and if we're looking to build muscle, we want to be like 100, 200 calories above, like into our surplus, 200 calorie surplus, which is 200 calories above maintenance. So for example, if you burnt 2000 calories a day and you were in a calorie deficit of 500, you'd eat 1500 calories a day, which means you'd lose about 410 grams per week, 1 pound of fat per week, about that, or 414. And in order to gain weight, you would need to be at 2200 calories, or the ideal of 2200 calories, because you'd close that maintenance, or you'd close the deficit of 500. So you'd go from 15 up to 2000. That's now your maintenance. And in order to build muscle in the ideal way without putting fat on or trying to limit as much fat as possible while gaining as much muscle as possible, we want to be about 100, 200 calories above that maintenance, which means you'd be at about 2200. But if I tell someone, hey, I know you've been doing 1500 calories your entire life, but I think we should start building some muscle. So let's go to 2200. They're going to freak the fuck out, particularly in that first week where the weight will jump up because they're getting hydrated and the fluid retention is there. They're going to freak the fuck out. So I don't do that. We slowly increase over time to go, here's 1600. And they go, yep, I'm feeling good. 1700. Yep, I'm still losing weight. What the fuck? Because they're still in a deficit. 1800. How do you feel? I'm still losing weight. Cool. 1900. How do you feel? Okay, it's starting to slow down, but I'm feeling pretty good. Cool. 2000, how do you feel? And we just keep building and building and building until eventually they go, how the fuck am I eating 2300 calories, 2500 calories, and either still losing weight or maintaining weight, but still feeling amazing, and my body composition is changing. It's a fun little thing called metabolic adaptation. Same thing that happened last time with the weight loss as to why you hit a plateau with weight loss because you're in a deficit for too long. You're letting your body adapt to extra nutrients that are coming in. So now it's building muscle, it's building processes, it's burning more calories just from existing. And that's how we do that, slowly over time. But that cannot happen if you keep focusing, like in terms of either reverse dieting or gaining weight or just not getting lost on that journey. That cannot happen if you get so bogged down in the minute details of what's going on. If the scale jumped up by 200 grams, you go, nah, fuck it, I'm not doing it. I don't want to do it because on this daily schedule that I'm on of I must lose weight, that didn't happen and I'm freaking the fuck out. I don't want to do it anymore. Zooming out, even just for a week, zoom out and take the week into account. Go, yep, sweet, that's that weekly average. Zoom out, take the month. Take a 3 month, take the quarterly thing, take the half year, take the full year. Do whatever the fuck you want. But please stop getting so caught on the minute details that are happening right now. I know it's very difficult because we only ever live in the now. And what is it? Anxiety is trying to live in the future and depression is trying to live in the past, which means it pulls us in different directions, regardless of which one you have. If you've got both, then fucking fantastic. Welcome to the world of mental health cocktails. But if you're getting pulled into the future from your anxiety, or you're getting pulled into the past from your depression, then you can never truly be present. And you may only find moments or glimpses where you can be present. And being present is very hard when you are focusing on everything that is in front of you and you're trying to project forward. For example, I went up on the scales 200 grams this morning. Therefore, I must be gaining 200 grams per day. Even if you've been losing weight by 100 grams every single day, it just jumps up by 200, you go, fuck, something's wrong. And because we're humans and we're going to look for patterns of survival, we look at that and go, that's against what we want. So, and then you start focusing so much on that one 200 gram increase, as opposed to zoom out for the week. Hey, you've actually lost 700 grams this week. So that going up by 200 means you've lost 500 grams this week. That's still pretty good. When we look at things like that and shift the perspective, it zooms out. You don't get bogged down in the minute details and you can go, oh, yeah, this actually doesn't fucking matter. If I go up by 200 grams, who cares? It's probably going to come back down the next week. The same thing when clients have social events and the scale goes up by like 2, 3, 4 kilos. And they know, not in the beginning, but after a while of working, they know that by Thursday, the weight's going to come back down. They go, oh, fuck, yeah, well, it was really good. Got my time out. Had social events, had time, had this, had that. But I know the scale is going to come back down from the fluid retention usually by Wednesday or Thursday. And then lo and behold, Wednesday, Thursday comes along and that weight is back down, if not a little bit further. If they've absolutely fucking sent it, then yeah, it may take that week for the body to adapt. But it's not going to ruin their life. They're still going to go to work. They're still going to go to the gym. They're still going to get their steps in. They're still going to do whatever the fuck. They're going to take care of the kids. Their life does not change. Your life and routine and lifestyle and everything will not change if you are 100 kilos or if you are 99 kilos, if you are 93 kilos or 91 kilos. Your lifestyle does not change. Everything about you does not change. It's after a long period of time and exposure to being, let's say you were 100 kilos and now you're 83 kilos. It takes a long time to change the identity from I am someone who is 100 kilos down to I'm 83. Because when you're at 83, you're not thinking about the weight. When you're at 83, and this is a real fucking, like, this is clients that have gone from A to B. When they're 100 kilos, for example, they only think about the weight. I can't go and do that because I'm too fat. I can't go and do this because I have too much weight. I can't do this. I can't do that. It's all the things that they can't do because of their weight. And obviously, they want to fix that and they want to fix what the perceived problem is, which is their weight. So then they say, I have to lose weight. I've got to do all these things. But every time they've lost weight and focused on it super hard, they feel like shit. They've been awful and they've been awful. They feel awful and they've burnt out. Logically, you know that you want to lose weight so that you can feel better. But the reason that you burn out and not lose weight is because you feel like shit. So the primary thing we want to do is make you feel good so that you can keep going for when you feel like shit, which is your lifestyle at the moment. Your lifestyle is bringing on you feeling like shit. So what we want to do is create a lifestyle that makes you feel good. That is the primary thing that we are trying to do. And with that will come the weight loss. The person who is at 83 isn't thinking about the weight or the scales as much as when they were at 100 kilos because they've lost the weight. But they know that they've done it just by moving more, just by eating better, just by taking care of themselves. They now have a different lifestyle or way of living that, or the habits or behaviors or belief systems and thought patterns and all the shit that we run through, that has completely shifted, which has changed their identity. And whether they say like I identify as this or whatever, no one fucking does when it comes to the scales. No one says I identify as a 100 kilo person, but internally they identify as someone in triple digits. That's why one of the biggest goals that I have for the people I work with is I just want to get under 100. If I can get under 100, I know that it's possible. But they go from 110 to 107 to 103 to 105 to 107 to 103 to 106. And it feels like 100 is just that unbreakable wall that they're never going to get through. And then eventually, some point at working together, they go one, and this is always, I always find this funny, but I know it would be fucking a pain in the ass to do it because I've lived there before. It'd be 100.7, 100.3, 100.1, 100 even, 100.3, 100.1, 100, 99.9, 101, 101.2, 100.7. It gives you that little fucking teaser and it goes 99.9. You go, oh my God, this is amazing. This is fucking awesome. It's possible. And then it goes up by a kilo because it's just like, hey, fuck you. we're not gonna give you hope. Are you kidding? We're your body. We're not going to do that. But then after a while of living as that to be like, oh, it's possible. Living as that under 100 kilo person or living as that 83 kilo person or whatever area where you feel safe and happy and you feel content. Living as that, eventually you will let go of the person that was at 100. I've let go and, you know, it took me a couple of years, but I've let go of the depressed version of myself. It still comes up every so often. But that's not me anymore. I don't identify as a depressed person. I nearly said Persian. I don't identify as a depressed person. Fucking ADHD is all hell. I saw the callus on my hand and I was like, man, I've got a good callus. I haven't even lifted that week. This week. Crazy. But any hoosies. That's what my brain goes. I don't identify as that depressed person anymore because honestly, I'm not. I'm Travis. I have depression. I have anxiety. I have ADHD. I have these things. But then it becomes the beautiful thing, and this is getting bogged down in the weeds. Was my depression just untreated ADHD? Was it sparked from the anxiety? Was it this? Was it like, how did I spiral? Because symptoms obviously from different things, symptoms overlap and they can be different things. So then it becomes, oh fuck, was it depression or was it ADHD? And should I be doing this and should I be doing that? End of the day, no fucking idea. I'm feeling good now, so that's what matters. I focus on doing the things that make me feel good. I don't really care about identifying or doing things that were me at my rock bottom. It's good to be aware of it. It's the same as any history book. Fucking atrocities happened, but we need to know that they happened and how they happened so that we don't repeat them. Because I think it was like 2 years ago or something like that, 3 years ago. My time is fucking horrible. But 2 or 3 years ago, I remember something on TikTok or Instagram or somewhere in social media, people were calling for, like, we should ban the Holocaust teachings from history classes. We should get rid of that out of school. We should stop teaching people about all of the bad things that happened in the past. And thankfully that didn't go through. Because if you don't know your history, then you're bound to repeat it. And no one wants to fucking repeat the atrocities and the dumb shit that happened because of racists, basically. And because of whatever ideology and belief system that that particular person had. Now, obviously, with social media, that's going to be a lot more difficult because everyone's sharing their opinion. But, I mean, fucking look at America with Trump. But hey, he can only be president one more time. So we'll see how fucking bad he makes it. But hey, well, you know, that's a whole thing. The reason I'm saying that is because I don't identify as that depressed person or that depressed version of myself, but I'm still aware of the habits, behaviors, thought patterns, the way that I used to live and be as that depressed person. So when I start feeling like shit present day, I'm looking at what have I done? What has led into me feeling like crap? If it's just had a bad day, I'm stressed, I'm not sleeping, then cool, I can fix that. But if it's coming off the back of me saying, I'm not motivated, I can't be bothered doing this, if it's shit that aligns with me as my rock bottom, worst depressed person, that for me is a red flag to go, I need to get my shit together and do something else. because this reminds me of when I didn't want to be here anymore. That is obviously a red flag. I need to do something different. But when I was at my worst, I was also 100 kilos. I just tipped over for 100 kilos and I went, whoa, all right, well, I should probably cut that down or do something about it because fucking Jesus. That was the first time and only time that I hit 100 kilos, but thankfully I was me. Former athlete. Technically it's not lying, but definitely didn't get paid for it. Former athlete, I used to play sport 9 nights a week. That's what it used to be. I used to do basketball, gridiron, all that dumb shit, and then ref as well on the side of it. I was always running and cardio was my fucking thing. But during that time, it wasn't. It was just, let's work and go to the gym and lift heavy things. And that was it. And often I talked myself out of doing heavy things because I just wanted to come home and play video games. And I wasn't feeling that great. But when it hit that 100, I went, okay, thankfully I'm me. So I was a PT at that point. Well, was an ex-PT at that point. So I had a decent understanding of nutrition, calorie tracking, working out, all that stuff. And I just built my own shit. And then eventually got down to like 90 and then down to 87. And then I went, okay, well, let's give this a go. Down to 83. And now I'm hovering around 79. But at each point, at 87, I still felt good within myself. I was more self-conscious with my body, but I felt okay with myself. And I was content sitting at 87. Then I ran an experiment to basically see what a 1200 calorie diet would be like, because all of my followers were coming to me coming off the back of 1200. And I was like, fuck, I've never eaten that. So I equated it for myself. And I was like, you know, I wouldn't mind losing a little bit more weight so I can be a little bit more confident. There we go. I was about to say conscious, but more confident within my body. So let's give it a go. So did the 1600, lost 4 kilos in 4 weeks. All the math was correct. And I was like, oh, fuck, yeah, that was awful. That was terrible. And then I spent the next 8 weeks reverse dieting out of it and building back up. I've said it before, I could have just done a conservative 12-week deficit, but decided to go hard and then had to use 8 weeks to get back out of it. Thumbs up, we love that. But then I started hovering around 83. And then when I got medicated for ADHD, didn't have to track calories as much, didn't have to track my meals and shit because I just wasn't as hungry. And I went down to 79 and then I started tracking to make sure I was eating enough. And now I'm sitting around 79. So at each 79, 83, 87, at each individual number that I was still feeling good. The difference was I just didn't feel at 87 as confident in my body as I do now at 79, as I did at 83. But each individual number on the scale, I felt good with. And the reason that I felt good at those points was because my lifestyle led me to the 87. And then there was something like I changed just a little bit about my lifestyle. Obviously, I had the drastic 4 kilos, but the reverse diet put something into my routine. That's the word I was looking for. It put something into my routine. And that was breakfast, lunch, snack, dinner. That was my day. Breakfast, lunch, snack, dinner. Everything outside of that was like, I can't do it because I'm waiting for my snack. I'm waiting for this. And it eventually just became my lifestyle. Now at 79, it's basically eat whatever the fuck you want when you want, because I'm not out there looking for all of the food, all of the snacks, all of the sugar. I'm not in the pantry. I'm not buying the snacks anymore. Now it's just, I've got lunch at 12. I'll just eat what I want for lunch at 12 because I know that's coming up. And then I'll have something at about 3:30 is when my first break is. Then I'll do that. And now it's just my lifestyle and I don't track because I'm like, oh, I'm a bit hungry. I'll eat. And that maintains me at 79. Haven't weighed in for about a month, which I need to do another scan for, but we'll figure that out later. I, at all of those points, was never bogged down in what my carbs should be, what my fats should be, how many calories should I be hitting, and trying to hit them like to the detail. All these small things were just like, eh. And this is a thing that shits my clients about me, is that I'm so balanced, even keel, stoic. Like this is this massive earth-shattering problem. And I'm like, okay, all right, well, let's figure it out. What are we going to do about it? How did it come about? And it's just pure troubleshooting. It's just pure troubleshooting to try and get to the answer of what do we do about it? So try not to get distracted by the small stuff that won't matter tomorrow or even next week. It's not going to impact your life. Is going over your calories by 200 really going to change your life? No. Is it going to change the perspective that someone at work has of you? No. What will going over your calories by 200 mean for you? Probably fucking nothing. What will eating 1200 calories and being super dehydrated, stressed, trying to do everything you can and sacrificing everything to lose your weight, how will that impact your life? That's going to have a bigger impact than going over your calories. You'll start to feel tired, brain fogged, less productive at work, less efficient. You'll start to feel shit within yourself. And that's the biggest reason, particularly when people say they identify as a logical person when they're not, because their emotions are guiding them. They feel bad within themselves, so then they logic their way into, right, if I just do this, then I'll lose the weight and I'll feel better. But then they start doing that for long periods of time and they feel bad. They're losing the weight, logically, they're losing the weight and doing what they said they wanted to do, but their emotions have peaked because they feel like shit. So what do? They go, oh, well, I've been doing this for too long, I've lost 6 kilos, that's probably good enough, right? And then they justify it to get out of that deficit. And they're either on a diet, off a diet, but they're justifying both of them the exact same way. They're trying to logic their emotions. And if you just said, I don't like doing deficits because they make me feel like shit, then you can start Googling or searching or finding a coach or someone or nutritionist or whatever to say, hey, yeah, the actual problem is like I can track calories pretty well, but every time I do, feels like shit. And I don't know what it is. The answer for that is do a deficit, but less of a deficit. Instead of going for 1200 calories, try 1600. Because most people don't even know what maintenance is like. So if you tracked your calories for a maintenance, you'd probably still lose a little bit of weight initially because you're not eating anything and everything. Worst case, hey, you know what it takes to maintain weight. How do we change that just a little bit to get some weight loss? That's it. Keep it simple. Keep it as even keel as you can and try not to get bogged down in the, should I have this oil or this type of bread or doing this? All of that, if you think about it as a pyramid scheme, if you think about it as a pyramid, calories are up the very top. The subdivision of the calories are proteins, carbs, fats, and then alcohol is in there as well. Obviously, we don't want to fuck with alcohol as much, but still a part of a good mental health every so often. And then under protein, that gets separated into different categories as well. The different types of protein that you can get that contain different types of iron, that contain different types of micronutrients. You can spiderweb this as much as you want. You can full fucking Herbalife Isagenix this as much as you want. At the end of the day, it's all going to come back to calories, protein, carbs and fats if you want to, but calories and protein. And we'll chuck fiber in there as well because fiber is a subdivision of carbs. Why would you focus on the, well, one or two or three of the things that are holding up the base of the pyramid when the base of the pyramid is made up by 486,000 things? You wouldn't focus on three of these things to try and get the most optimal results. You'd focus on, all right, let's focus on this one thing, and then the second thing, and then the third thing, and you go, fuck, things are actually working pretty well. Zoom out and look at the pyramid as the whole thing, as for what we're looking for. If the pyramid is good, and it's awesome, and it's picturesque, and you're feeling good, and it's moving in the right direction. Obviously, if a pyramid is moving, get the fuck out of the way, something's wrong. But if your pyramid is completely stationary and stable and amazing, and you feel supported and stable and it's foundational, then that's ideal. That's what we want. But don't look at the very minute grains of sand that make up the pyramid. If the calories and proteins and everything are all good, then fantastic, we're moving in the right direction. As best you can, don't get distracted by the small things. You can give less fucks by understanding that most of what we do is not going to impact our life. Over long periods of time, it can have a compounding effect. But if you go over your calories by 200, how is that going to impact your life? It's probably not. If you choose brown rice over white rice, but you still hit calories and protein, or you just have a healthy dish that contains either white or brown rice, how is that going to impact your life? It's probably not. It's still healthy. It's still rice. It's still food. It's still doing everything that it was doing previously. Things that, this is going to sound weird and harsh, but the things that you care about don't matter. The things that you think you care about are the things that are holding you back. And this is the thing that a lot of people, they understand logically, but they don't put it in practice because it's such a emotional response to them. One thing I really want to get across to people is that I can literally, thank you for all the lives. Thank you for all the likes on the live. One thing I really want to get across to people is that the biggest compliment or feedback or point of perspective shifting awesomeness that I get from the program from people is they say, I never knew it could be this simple, because it is. The biggest thing, and it's highly individual for how we get to that point and make it extremely simple for that person. Obviously, most of my clients are either ADHD, D&D nerds, all or nothing, perfectionism people. They've been brought up like that. Most of them are fucking 90s kids and the clean your plate type of mentality and being emotionally blackmailed or manipulated into doing something. They're the type of people that I work with. And I completely understand it because that's me. Overcoming all of that feels like you have to do A and then B and C and go through the whole alphabet. And when you get to there, fantastic, flip it upside down, do it backwards, do it in the mirror. Once you do that as well, let's go into the Greek alphabet and learn that shit. We are trying to learn so much when in reality, health is obviously going to make up all of your life, but we don't want to get bogged down in the minute things that are going to take you out of being present and participating in life and enjoying life. We want to focus on the big things, like having a life, being present, being spending time with your friends and family and being present, taking your kids to footy practice, cricket practice, basketball practice, doing all those things and being there so that you can share their upbringing with them and support them instead of, hang on, I can't do that because I have to work. It's like, do ya? Could the work be done later when the kid goes to bed a lot fucking earlier than you? Probably. Could you do different things or move some things around so that you can be more present in their life and you get more out of it as well? Probably. And then what happens when you start moving those things around? You start feeling better. You start being more present. You're probably going to do things that make you feel better. Probably going to spend more time away from the indoors. You're probably going to get more steps in because you're taking them somewhere. You're probably going to eat less because you're not like, oh, snacking at the desk while you're working, or you finish your work and then go, thank fuck, that's done. And then you need emotional self-soothing because you've just worked so hard. And the kids are also at you to be like, oh, why can't we do this? And you do this. And what? It's like, well, I need to fucking work. None of this just comes off a fucking tree. Where do you think money comes from? Obviously, we'll see what that argument looks like when I'm 40 or 45. Then I'll come back to you and have some different feedback. But you can have that conversation for yourself as well. It doesn't have to be just kids. You don't have to work so fucking hard because maybe you don't have kids. You don't have to work that hard to be like, well, no, everyone else has kids, so I have to do all this. You don't have to. You can still take care of yourself. You can treat yourself like the kid because we all have an inner kid or inner child that we need to take care of. And you can ask those same questions for yourself. What do you want to do? You know what? I just want to go to the movies. I just want to bowl. I just want to do this. All right, sweet. Let's fucking go do it. Invite some friends out if you want to, but otherwise you can spend some time with yourself and just be content with yourself. Anywho, don't get caught up in the small stuff. I was about to say do your best not to, but just fucking leave it. Just let it go. The small stuff isn't really going to matter. Is it going to change your life tomorrow? Probably not. Yes, things can have a compounding effect, but you're an adult. You're smart enough to know what is going to be good for you, bad for you. Mental health, physical health, emotional health, all of that stuff. You may have a semblance or a gut instinct or an intuition as to what's going to work best for you. Trust that little voice because it's usually pretty spot on. If not, or if the small stuff, wow, if the small stuff does keep bothering you and it's like the kid on an airplane kicking you in the back of the chair and you're just like, I'm going to fucking yeet this kid out of the airplane. I don't care if we all get like suctioned out of it like a movie. They're going. Or it's just an annoying kid just poking you in the face and you're just like, hey, hey, hey. If it's like that for the small things, why is it bothering you? What can you do about it? And are you going to take action to fix it? Or are you going to give yourself permission to let it go? Basically, are you going to do something about it or are you going to let it go? Can you do something about it or are you going to let it go? It's one or the other. It's not, well, I can't do anything about it, but that's because, and then justify as to why you can't do anything about it. It's not going to change the fucking fact that you can't do anything about it because you can't do anything about it. Maybe tomorrow you revisit it and you go, oh, now I have an opportunity to do something about it. Then you address it. But for that day where you can't do anything about it, you give yourself permission to let it go and you say, I can't do anything about it right now, but I'm going to give myself permission to just not focus on that right now. and I'm going to do that tomorrow. Like, I can do shit for it tomorrow. And I understand there's niggles and things like it'll stay in your brain, it'll stay there, but you have to keep reminding yourself to let it go, to give yourself permission to let it go, because you can't do anything about it. We can deal with it tomorrow when we're in a better position to be able to do that. Why is it bothering you? Why is it there? What would you have to believe in order for it to be true? Are you taking action to fix it? Can you do anything about it? Or are you giving yourself permission to let it go? It's one or the other. Don't justify yourself into staying into a shit situation. No one's going to be happy there. That is us, obviously. If you liked it, review it, 5-star it, do all that fun shit. If you really want to help people, then obviously the review, the comments, the engagement, all that stuff, that helps us reach people organically on Spotify and all the other places you listen. That helps us reach people that don't know we exist but need to see this message. And obviously if you're seeing it and resonating with it, I'm willing to bet that there are more than a handful of people in your audience that, in your audience, in your friend, family group, people that are following you or whatever on Facebook, Instagram, wherever, TikTok, that probably going to resonate with this as well. So as best you can, give a like, give a comment, give a share. It takes 5 seconds. And honestly, with what TikTok is doing in terms of like the shit algorithm and how they're changing their views and followers and all that fun stuff, and Instagram following suit, people bailing on Instagram, and it looks like it's turning into a YouTube fucking city. Don't know what YouTube have done, but they're fucking killing it. Instagram are turning into money-hungry cunts, and TikTok are going through everything that they're going through. So a simple like, a simple share takes you 5 seconds, and it can quite literally change the course of this entire business and someone else's life as well. So thank you very much for considering that and for joining me and for listening and for doing everything that you do. I will see you in the next one.